Bowery Capital Startup Sales Podcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Bowery Capital Startup Sales Podcast. You have Mike and Jess on today. We have a very special guest for everyone, Leslie Brand. She's the former Senior Director of Marketing at Alation. Leslie, welcome to the show. Thanks for coming on.
Great. Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
Hey, so before we jump into the topic, today we're going to talk about building your customer advisory board. Just talk to us a little bit about your background, what you've been up to professionally, the last couple of years, and then more broadly.
Sure. I started my career in media, spent about a dozen years working in high-tech media. That would be the online publications, events, and print publications, pretty much the vehicles that technology companies use for generating leads and market awareness. And I spent about a decade working at tech startups with roles spanning a broad range of marketing disciplines, from content marketing, corporate marketing, customer marketing, and product marketing functions. Most recently, I spent 3.5 years at Alation, which is the leading data catalog and governance platform. I joined the company at Series B when it was 10 million ARR and stayed through Series D unicorn status and over 80 million in ARR. At Alation, I was responsible for the corporate marketing functions, customer marketing, customer advisory board, PR, user conference. And during this time from growing from 10 million ARR to 80 million ARR, we really created the flywheel of momentum, leveraging our customers for demand gen, community initiatives, and with analysts and with the press. And right now, as I look for my next venture or my next rocket ship, I'd like to say I'm doing some consulting work in the data ops observability space. There's a lot going on there as data continues to grow in scale and complexity.
Cool. Thank you for sharing that. And I guess just going back to Alation, can you maybe share with our audience what some of the interesting things are that are going on there and maybe a little bit about the broader data landscape as well?
Sure. There's so much happening in the data space right now. Every organization is looking to use data as an asset. But in order to use data for the business benefit, you need to know at the baseline level what data you have. Is the data up to date? Is it of good quality? And while it sounds like it's a no-brainer, enterprise organizations are filled with silos. So finding the right data or the person who has the data or the system where that data resides could take weeks or even months. Alation provides a data catalog and governance tools to help organizations see the data they have using metadata and access that data using natural language search. And the platform also helps with curating and governing data, managing the business glossary for consistent metrics, and tagging fields to protect data privacy. As for the broader data landscape, every organization is focused on unleashing this power of data to improve product delivery or operational efficiencies or customer experience. But there are a lot of moving parts when it comes to working with data. There's a massive proliferation of data, which can be attributed to IoT devices, sensors, transaction data, digital transformation initiatives. And there's an incredible amount of data sources, especially as companies move to the cloud data warehouses and deploy multi-cloud strategies. And these systems are super complex. So in order to get value from data, the data has to move from the source system to the data consumers in the applications that they use to do their jobs, like a BI tool for an analyst. But as data moves from system to system, a lot of issues take place, slowing down the delivery and the quality of the data. And in order to fix the issues, you need to know where in the data pipeline the breakdown occurred. So the latest tools that are springing up, like a massive amount of them, is to help with data ops management. And their data observability tools, traceability tools, pipeline management, and the next level of cross-system lineage. And these tools are really becoming integral to the modern data stack. And I think it's a really interesting space right now within data.
Got it. Great. And Leslie, before we jump into the topic today, one question we always like to ask every single guest is, what is one thing that nobody listening here is going to know about you?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, I'd say my superpower is customer intimacy and utilizing customers in ways that up-level marketing programs. When you're building momentum in the market, customers can be your treasure trove. not only are they probably your best spokespeople for your product, but they're filled with information that can really shape how you tell your story in the market and what content themes you should map to. And I make it a practice to talk to customers regularly, whether it's me personally or someone on my team. And we really take the time to listen and to learn. And then the other thing that when we work with customers, when they participate in advocacy, such as an event speaking session or a webinar, too often marketers don't always feel that they can help guide the customer or provide feedback. But unless you're selling to marketers, like if you're selling to data management or your product helps IT, it's important to remember that they're not necessarily storytellers. So guiding them on their storyline is something that they are really grateful for, because it helps them do a great job. And it also helps you produce great content that builds credibility and helps drive demand.
Awesome. Let's jump into the topic. So we're talking about building your customer advisory board today. We've done a lot of topics around sort of the generalized customer in air quotes. We've talked about nailing the sort of ideal customer profile and mapping it. We've talked about renewals. We've talked about unique angles on customer success, building your initial teams. We've actually never done one on the customer advisory board, and that's why we thought it'd be amazing to bring Leslie on. Maybe just to sort of game this out for the listeners, Leslie's done this a few times over, but really built this formative experience at Alation. And so we want to talk through it with her today. Leslie, as a starting point, maybe at the highest level here, like why should a company do this? Sort of what's the benefit? What's the point? Maybe conversely, and we can get to this in the bulk of our conversation, but maybe are there companies where it doesn't make any sense? Like you should not have a customer advisory board. This might not be a good idea. Anyways, maybe at the highest level, just walk the listeners through why do this, what's the benefit, and who this is really for in terms of the company type.
Yeah, that's a great place to start. At the highest level, customer advisory boards are useful in gathering feedback that helps guide the product roadmap, as well as deepen relationships between a company and its key customers. And it also provides a great opportunity to learn and gain market intelligence. So from a product roadmap perspective, CABs provide a great forum where you can get feedback on feature set viability, functionality, or input on a new product concept, or it could even be validation of a higher level product strategy or direction. From a relationship standpoint, the CAB members get a sense that they're valued, that they're being heard, that they have the ability to shape the product, and they get to really connect with key members of your company and to bond with them. And then from a market intelligence perspective, you can learn a lot about the key initiatives or challenges your customers are focused on, which provides great input for the product, but as well as great inputs for marketing. And then, of course, a CAB helps you connect with customers in deeper ways in that you're really spending a lot of time with them. And it really helps with engaging them as advocates for your company and your product. In terms of when CAB is not a good idea, I think you have to be open to hearing input on your product roadmap or the direction in a group setting. But pretty much, I think the health of a company, I think every B2B technology company that targets enterprise organizations or even mid-market organizations should have a CAB, pretty much for the reasons I shared. And I think listening to your customers and hearing their points of view is really invaluable.
Can you talk to us about the work you did at Alation around this? Maybe talk us through what were some of the early innings and how you concepted it out. How did it grow and evolve? And feel free to kind of go deeper in your background as well.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah, it's a good point. CABs definitely evolve. I organized 4 CABs at Alation. And in the early days, we focused the agenda more on specific features and functionality coming down. And the invite list was a mix of top customers by revenue plus great influential brands that have the potential to expand and grow their commitment with us. And the titles were more director level, or they were the champions or our product owners, more hands-on users. As we grew as a company and the product matured and our customer base grew and our deal size grew, right, to upper six figures, even seven figures, we made some shifts. We got a little bit more strict. We then started to use top customers by revenue as one of the main criteria. We leveled up the invite list to the VP level, to the economic sponsor, right? Because the deals were bigger and we wanted to engage with the economic buyer and build up that relationship. And agenda-wise, we focused more on strategic direction of our roadmap or some new concepts coming down, our target investments, a little bit more higher level and strategic. And then we also spent more time on learning more about the key initiatives and challenges that these data leaders were really solving for, beyond just the features of our product, but relevant to their role and to our ecosystem, partner strategy, product delivery strategy, and so on.
Hey, what's the, when you think of sort of a founder, you know, probably both from your experience at Alation, but more broadly now that you're advising and supporting companies, what do you think is the ideal profile of someone to bring on to this advisory board? I think that the constant struggle is sort of someone who is super high profile, might be excellent, great to put on the website, prospects really love it, but maybe they have no time for you or can't give you much feedback and support, versus you might find someone who is the first or the second customer of the product. You know, and they got ultimate amount of time, but they're not a king or a queen who can really, you know, sort of bless the product publicly and make other people become attracted to it. How do you sort of think about the balance, and sort of who to bring on to this advisory board?
Yeah, great, great question. You want the companies that ideally represent what will become the cornerstone of your customer base, or they currently are your you know, the center of your customer base, or the top echelon, if you will, that you're striving for, right? So if it's Global 2000, you want representatives of those kinds of companies. And ideally, you want brands with some great clout. So if you can get them to do some advocacy, that helps. But they're industry leaders, right? And you want individuals that are leaders and have some level of influence in their organization. They can make the business case for your product. And you really also want to make certain that your board members have equal or similar stature. So you're creating an environment of peer exchange, and they feel that they're in good company. And you also want to make certain that they are already champions of your product. They're already committed to your product. They believe in it and they want your company to succeed. What you don't want is the CAB member to come to CAB with a list of feature requests and bug issues, because we have a process for that, and that's not what CAB is for.
Sure. How do you, you know, what's your process to kind of sniff out those that might fit this profile, but then are kind of not going to really do anything, and they're glamorous and just want the advisory board profile? Is it more you just sort of test it, you know, for a trial period, or are there ways that you can really figure out who's, you know, perfect for this and who's not? You know, we always kind of talk about expectation management. I'm curious just what you think of that and how to deal with it.
Yeah. We always made certain that they were a customer for at least a year. Right. So if someone, you know, sometimes sales will want to bring someone on and they'll say, oh, we want to give them, you know, a seat on the customer advisory board as a lure. And we really, we want to make certain that they have been with the company enough, like they've been with the product, they've had time to deploy it and to have some success with it. So you really want to make certain that they have seen successes, unless you're doing a customer advisory board because you're trying to figure out a different repositioning. But let's assume that you have a product that has the right market fit. You pretty much really want the customer to be there for a year. And we started in the early days, we start with some of the bigger brands and some of our friendlies that we knew, right? And marketing will organize this, but we always work hand in hand with sales and sales leadership on this as well. And product is our content, right? They are our main attraction, right? The product team, the product roadmap in those sessions. But we started with the brands and the people who were already talking about expanding the value of Alation within their organization. So we knew that they were committed. And we definitely, we went with the higher level person, right? Because that's also a way to make certain that you're keeping the conversation above the fray. As we got more strict, we actually started to add in a few more levels of screen. So yeah, customer for at least a year. You also had to be a top revenue company, and we got alignment from the chief revenue officer for that, right? So it was definitely companies that were investing money in our product, right? So they wanted to get something out. We also were trying to go for the higher level, the sponsor, the VP level. So we also made it non-transferable as in the latter 2 years. So if the VP couldn't come, it was not that they can ask someone else on their team that wouldn't be that level in that room. And part of that is because we wanted to make certain that the peer exchange was the right level of peer exchange, because that's a real value benefit for the customers that are attending. But also it made certain that the conversations we were able to have were a certain strategic level.
I'm curious also, sort of, can you just walk us through like a level deeper about how you actually make the ask? You know, founders are curious about probably, do you sort of formalize this in a letter? Do you kind of just pick up the phone and call them and say, I'm starting a cab and I want you to be a part of it? What was your process, and how do you coach on sort of the best way to get people invited to these and sort of feeling good about the opportunity?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we would write the invite, but it would come from our head of product, or it could come from a founder. It was an email, but it also linked to a reg page. And on that reg page, by accepting or signing up for the cab, there was also an NDA attached to it. That was also part of that process. And we also really spelled out what the commitment was. So we did it both in the email, and then we also had it on the reg page as well. So we made it as a proper event, even though we were only inviting, you know, up to like 18 people to attend, but we really treated it as a proper event. And we shared a little bit of the agenda. We asked for we said it was a strategic customer advisory board where we were going to ask their strategic input. We let them know that they were going to be in good company and with peer exchange and networking, opportunities to network. That is a very, very big, big aspect of this for them. It's a big benefit for them. And we also mentioned the requirement for attending in the entirety of the event in person, or when we did it online during COVID, the requirement was the duration of the meeting. So that would be the first email that would go out. And quite frankly, marketing sent them out, right? I did it personally, and I CC'd our chief product officer, right? So we really managed this highly. So then that the second touch, because it does take 2 or 3 touches, I then would follow up. So I wouldn't have my head of product follow up. I would follow up. And as we got people on the board that were coming, we'd also would give them some titles of people being in the room so they know they're in really good company.
Talk to us a little bit about maybe some of the expectations. Like, what would you say is a good rubric for commitment and expectations from both the customer advisory board member as well as the company? You'd mentioned there's like a little bit of a mix between meeting in person or virtual. Like, are there specifics around sort of expectations for number of in-person or virtual? You know, are there specifics around making introductions or doing content? Any sort of detail you can kind of share there would be really helpful.
Yeah, sure. In terms of expectations from the commitment of the member, we definitely one in-person meeting for the year. And then calls with the product team a couple of times during the year or quarterly, either as a small group or individual calls, not to exceed, 60 or 90 minutes. What the cab member can expect from the company and the cab itself is a company update with a product update, with roadmap information or areas of investment, preview of and discussions on new product concepts, right? Or sneak peeks, right? There was a value that they were going to be in the know and the inside scoop, and definitely peer-to-peer exchange with similar caliber people. In terms of advocacy, we didn't put that as a requirement. I think it's something that if I really think through it, every single company that was part of ALCAB did some kind of advocacy. And even if their company had a policy that they couldn't, they can always talk to an analyst, right? So I think if they're invested in your company, they will do that. But we didn't make it about a pro quid pro for that, right? We really made it about, we want your strategic input. We value you as a customer, and we want you to meet some of our other customers as well. And as a result of that, we got advocacy.
Got it. Very cool. And I guess I'm curious, you had just kind of walked us through some of the benefits that cab members would receive, but curious if there was anything on the compensation front. Were you paying anybody by way of cash or equity? Were there any sort of kickers that were involved if customer introductions were made that, transitioned into a sale? Curious about sort of the logistics on that end.
Yeah, we did not pay any cab members any money or equity. We would host a very nice event. And afterwards, we might send them a bottle of wine to thank them for their time. Or during COVID, part of the networking, we would have a tasting of some sort. But a lot of companies have policies about not accepting gifts valued more than $100. So we really kept within those guidelines. And the thing is, the customers want, they're honored. They like to participate. If they can make it in their schedule, and if you make it compelling enough in terms of having a product that they're investing enough money with, or having the right kinds of other companies there, they really love being with their peers. They feel that they're in good company and they can learn. They're happy to attend.
So talk to us a little bit about how this evolves over time. Do you keep adding advisory board members? Does it cap out at a certain point? You had mentioned earlier that there was sort of a timeline around commitment. So just kind of curious around some of the details there.
Yeah, we asked for a one-year commitment. And this was primarily because we were in a high growth phase. Some advisory boards do ask for a two-year commitment, but we did a one-year commitment, and we even really made the big value was the meeting, right? One meeting for that year, where for the most part would be a full day, or if it was online, it was a good, 7 hour commitment. For our first 2 years, we did one. We had about 12 to 14 customers for each of the years. By the time we started to think about, as we were growing and we were doing our third one, we started to think about doing two, right? Maybe one in the US and one in EMEA, in Europe. And then COVID hit. So what we did instead is we went virtual, and we had two. We offered 2 days, and we didn't have one that was specifically just for Europe at that point. What we did is we had two different time schedules, so that one was maybe better for European and East Coast companies, and one was better for the Pacific, Northwest companies and Central. But the truth is that they were all over. People just picked whichever one worked for their schedule. But we were able to have two cab meetings, and that was a way to double it over time. In terms of how does it keep growing, I think you don't want it to be everybody. It is an elite group, right? So having your top 20 customers being invited to to participate in the CAB is something that is that keeps it exclusive, but also keeps it to the right kind of peer level, the right kind of company level as well.
Maybe one of the last things that we wanted to talk through that's been pretty granular in terms of this discussion and you know, elicits a lot of different responses is just sort of the ROI metric. Obviously, you've kind of gone to your CEO on down and talked through the value of this. Can you just kind of walk us through what that looks like and maybe some of the talking points you want to think about? You know, what metrics maybe were you tracking, or what are you sort of giving to your peers and then to the CEO and the broader executives to prove that this is working, this is, you know, things we need to work on? Maybe just unpack that a little bit for us.
Yeah. So, you know, ROI is such a hard one for a CAB, because part of it is the information that the product team is capturing, right? So that they're able to use that. Part of it is the relationships we build on behalf of the company. So yeah, the fact that I can say that every one of our CAB companies has participated in advocacy, or they've talked to analysts, or they've done speaking opportunities, or the press is great. But it's hard to attribute the benefit of just the CAB for that. But I think it is the key learnings, or the product input and the advocacy are things that they can see that is measurable or trackable. But overall, it's when you can spend a day with your top customers, it's invaluable. The fact that they are taking time out of their busy schedule to invest 6 or 7 hours online or a full day, it does speak a lot. And then in terms of costs, you know, our costs were not too high. We did piggyback the in-person CABs with our user conference. So the additional costs weren't too bad. And we were able then to also leverage the members of the CAB as part of the speaker lineup, which was also a great draw. So we kind of, didn't look at it only as an isolated event as well.
Got it. Okay. Super, super helpful. I think that covers pretty much everything that's super granular and detailed, and it gives a good playbook or recipe for founders. Maybe just sort of taking it back to the macro point of view or the 30,000 foot point of view, maybe just in your experience, and I'm sure you don't need to convince founders that this is really a good idea, but we're always curious, benefits of doing this once you kind of create the advisory board, how this actually becomes kind of a great tool. Just walk us through a little bit of the narrative that you sort of talk to your teams about, and when you're advising founders kind of on the benefits, what you're talking to them about.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're learning a lot about the customer companies, and, you know, during the introduction phase of the agenda, we do ask the CAB members to share, maybe a big challenge that they're facing or what they're really focused on. So it's really a great way to also learn a little bit more about your target audience. And it also opens the door for more strategic conversations with your customers. And then, so that's one thing. You're really listening and you're really learning, and you're learning who they are. And it's much easier, right? People, when people have an opportunity to express what, you know, their viewpoints on the product, right? Or to weigh in on your product roadmap, right? Automatically they're feeling an affinity for your company. And when you're trying to create momentum in the market, the more people you can have to have affinity for your company that you can leverage in marketing programs is amazing. And it's a terrific tool for that. So that also helps. And then from the product standpoint, I mean, that's the big crux for him. And I can tell you that there was one point, I can't share too much information, but I think the third year that we were doing this, we had a product concept and strategy around a different expanded user base. And at the CAB, we presented the concept, and it, quite frankly, it wasn't as well received as we thought it would be. And in fact, the CAB members wanted us to they preferred not to go that way, but to double down on the expanded functionality that they were focused on, or other areas that they were really trying to solve for. So it was really valuable that we took that input and helped shift our thinking for that from a product standpoint. And then even from like an advocacy, I think I had said that, every company has done some kind of advocacy, but I can share one example of really the ones that really will go the extra mile. I think, you spend a day with someone, they'll go the extra mile. One customer was part of the Blue Cross Blue Shield family of companies, and I won't say exactly which one, but there were 35 entities throughout the country for them. But because there's 35 entities, they don't own the Blue Cross Blue Shield brand. And this customer had an incredible story, and we really, really wanted to do press with it, or we wanted to do a broad-based webinar for it, really to get this message out there in the market. And but he wasn't allowed to, because their corporate communications team would never say yes, because they didn't own the brand of Blue Cross Blue Shield, even if it was for that state. But what he was able to do was speak at industry events. And yes, he did that. He spoke at Forrester, but he really did one better for us. And it was his second year of being on LCAP. And because he was part of this larger Blue Cross Blue Shield group, they have a data group, and he would be on a monthly call with his peers at the other entities. And even though he wasn't able to do a broad based webinar, he was allowed to present to his group of entities. So he offered to promote do a webinar and promote it to his closed group of the Blue Cross Blue Shield network. And we worked with him on content, and he reached out to his peers. And I think we had about 15, 18 of the 35 entities showed up. And I think we closed about 3 or 4 of them that year, and that's the power of a great partner, right? Is that they're really interested in your company's success, and that they will work with you to try to help get their story out there to help if they really believe in your company and you have a great relationship. Because really at the end of the day, it's about people, right? And it's people helping people. And when you're spending that much time with these people, like, you're really getting to know them on a personal level.
I think we've covered a ton. Any final thoughts before we break? I mean, we've talked through a lot, just sort of how you think about this at the highest level, some of the details on the Alation story, the creation, the compensation, making the ask, how the evolution transpired, and then some of the ROI metrics, as well as the best in class advisors that you've had. Anything in conclusion you wanna round it out or wrap it up with?
I think I should mention also, after the CAB, after the in-person event, we would send out a post-event survey, and because we want to be mindful of the value of the CAB from our CAB members, our customers' perspective. So it was a short survey, but we would ask what they thought of each session. We gave them a rating scale and a place to write in thoughts. We asked if the event was worth their time, and we asked for feedback on what we could do better. Right. So we really cared on making certain that that we were listening to them, and that we were really respecting their time and actually delivering something that they felt was of value. And I think that's super important to do.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Leslie, for coming onto the show. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.